Always good to have y'all here tonight, and all our members, just a joy to see you. And I'm going to have some announcements here that we'll go over after the study, but let's go ahead and dig in here. I'm going to go ahead and read our passage that we've been studying. We're to our last verse, and should I say our last petition. We will split tonight's verse up in two messages, but we will, Lord willing, finish the last petition here in our text. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful to be here at the midweek service. Lord, we're grateful for the brethren and God that we can gather around your word tonight to draw the encouragement that we desperately need, Lord. We, as we'll study tonight, we are in a battle, Lord, that I know you have called us to fight. And Lord, you have enabled us, you have empowered us, you've given us the necessary tools to do that. And Lord, I'm thankful that one of those tools you've given to us is the local church. Brothers and sisters come together after a week, a midweek service, and Lord, just been dealing with trials and temptations and just concerns and Lord, various things. But God, we can come here tonight and just allow you to arrest our attention and help us to grow stronger in our walk with you. And then, Lord, we have our prayer service. We'll be following the Bible study. Lord, would you lead in both? Lead now and then lead in that prayer meeting. Lord, we're wanting to be ready for revival. We want to be ready right now. Not this coming week. We want to be ready now, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would just do your work. And I'm thankful for that you're already working. And I just pray you'll continue. And we commit this service to you tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to focus in on verse number 13 tonight. Verse number 13. And this is the, if you count this now, some people would count, again, I've explained that. Some would say they believe this is seven petitions. They split up verse 13. That's fine. I can see that. But I feel like they're so closely related that I see them as one petition, there and that Jesus is giving to the disciples and to all of us. And that is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, one thing as we draw to an end to our series here on the Lord's model prayer, we see that the last petition that He has given is that which we need to pray again every day, and that is deliverance from sin. Did anybody fight sin today? Yeah. We all did. And the Lord knew that we would. And He wanted us to pray for deliverance from the temptations that come to us daily, that we give into. We're enticed with our own lust, and we'll mention that. But He also tells us that we should pray for deliverance. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but it's so important. You know, there's great blessings in free will. Aren't you glad God gave us a free will? And we're not just a bunch of puppets. Because that's what some would tend to believe if they take their logic to its fullest extent. But we're not puppets. God has given us the ability to choose right and wrong. And therefore, you know, we could be, well, some would say, well, boy, I just wish I had only the ability to choose right. Well, that will be one day when we get to heaven. But here on earth, God has given us the ability to choose right or wrong. And it is His will for us to choose right. But we do fight temptation, and thankfully the Lord has given us a solution and a battle plan for that. A businessman was on a diet. That's not a good way to start off a story, is it? A businessman was on a diet and experienced a craving for a donut shop. I can relate. And he had a craving for this donut shop, and he just kept circling the block. Then he prayed, "Lord, I know you don't want me to eat donuts. I know that that's not your will, but I need you to confirm it. There are no parking spaces at this donut shop, so I'm going to drive around the block, and if no parking space comes open, that will be confirmation." After going around 8 more times, a spot became available. He was tempted, but you know, he did not handle it properly. We are going to face temptation every day of our lives. It is somewhat comical, and when we look at stories like this, but the truth of the matter is, folks, sometimes it just is very serious. Because when we are faced with these temptations, how do we deal with them that come to us daily? And our Savior is going to give us exactly what we need to do here. First thing we need to understand, and point number one, is that temptation should, is your first blank, and can be avoided. Temptation should and can be avoided. The Lord would not ask us and tell us to pray something that could not take place. And He is saying here that we can be delivered. I want us to look at this first word of the verse, and that's lead. Aisphero is the Greek word here, and it simply means to bring into, to lead into. And that word there is simply indicating that there is that the prayer is that, "Lord, please do not guide us in any direction that's going to be a place where we're going to give in to our sinful desires, where our weaknesses are." And so you see this word lead, and then of course you have the "not" there that negates the lead. Lead us not, then into, towards, in the direction of. And that's what we see here. But then to understand that more clearly, I want us to look at the word temptation. Letter D there, temptation, carries the idea of a test or a trial. Now the word temptation is used in two contexts in Scripture. You have temptation that's used as a trial, which is not a sin. To go through that type of temptation. We know over in James that there is a crown promised to those that endure temptation. And it goes with, we don't have time to go into the context or to the passage, but all through James chapter 1 up until that point, it's the context is trials. Going through trials, and knowing how great patience is, and knowing that what God can do even through trials in getting us to who He wants us to be. So there is a temptation that's not sinful necessarily. We see that also in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, the trial of our faith, talking about being purified. And then of course the Macedonians there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2, their faith was being tried. But this context, I believe, is more in the context of temptation as an enticement to sin. All right. Now, we'll notice here in 6 verse 13, but go over to the book of James with me and just let's at least look at that verse in dealing with this context. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and then we'll just read verse number 13. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And it goes on to explain here, how is a man tempted? A man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, you notice that when he says here, lead us not into temptation, the verse doesn't say, lead us not into sin, because we know God will never lead us to sin. God will never lead us to sin, but God does allow situations in life, unless we were in a bubble. But you know what I came to find out, as you know, in my own life? It doesn't matter if you're in a bubble. You can get in some monastery or whatever, or be some kind of monk, and trap yourself up there for months on end, have all your food and everything, and you know what you're going to find out? You're still going to struggle with sin. You can protect yourself in every way possible, and there's still going to be a struggle there. But I believe what the point is being made here is that this prayer is to say, Lord, do not let me go in a direction that is going to be somewhere where I'm going to be tempted to give in to my sinful desires. Praying that the Lord would protect you from that direction each day, and He will do that. He will honor that. In other words, Lord, keep me away from places where I'm going to be enticed. And we all have those different areas in our life. And it all is in different contexts with each of us. But the fact of the matter is, there is that place. Now, for that businessman, it was the donut shop. And, you know, he was praying for deliverance, but he stayed in that area. What he should have done is when he went around that second time and the parking lot was still full, should have kept on going. But we see here that this thing of temptation is talking about the enticement, that place where there's the enticement to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13, of course, we know as well, is that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may also be able to bear it. You know, with every temptation, you know what God provides? A door of escape. You know something I just noticed in here? I don't think we have exit signs. Brother Jake, we might need to talk about that. I know it's pretty obvious to most of us where the exit signs are, but if they were exit signs, you know, the Lord provides an exit for people, for all His children that are faced with temptation. Always guarantee that. Anytime you are faced with a temptation, God has already provided a way of escape. Amen? And God, and that's what I believe goes along with this prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but Lord, you lead me to that exit. Lord, don't let me hang around that place where my flesh wants to hang out. Lord, get me to the exit, the closest exit, that I can get out of here. I like the whole idea of fleeing, like Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Oh, he couldn't. Hey, Joseph was looking for the closest exit. Amen. So we see here that there's temptation should and can be avoided. And that's the idea of fulfilling my own will, doing it my way. Here are some thoughts here in letter E. The idea is to steer us away from the place where we are known to sin. One of those is wrong thoughts. That's your next two blanks there. Wrong thoughts. Temptation most commonly begins with our thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. You and I both know that that's where it begins, in our thinking. And Lord, keep us away from wrong thoughts. Lead us not into those realms where, boy, I start getting into the make-believe realm. You know? The fantasy realm. What's the fantasy realm? Well, it's when you and I start thinking about those things that are not true. They're not pure. They're not honest. They're not just. They're not lovely. They're not of good report. And it gets us into a realm where we get into temptation. So that's something that goes along with this prayer. Lord, lead us not into the thought life. Keep us away from that. Help us to replace it with your word. Lead us to your word, Lord. And he will. Then there's those sinful tendencies. Look at this quote from Dr. Charles Allen. That's your second blank there. Sinful tendencies. A man is no stronger than his weakest moment. And every man has an Achilles heel, a point of vulnerability. Wouldn't you say amen to that? We do. We all have that point of weakness. And that's a great point. Sometimes we think we get pretty strong in life, but the fact of the matter is, on your weakest, at your weakest moment, you're no stronger than that. The Lord needs to help us. Then number three here, steer us away from the place where we are known to sin, are stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks. And those things that feed temptation. You know, that might include certain people. I think we would all agree here that there are influences in our life that as we pray, Lord, deliver us from temptation, would be, Lord, deliver us from those people who are influencing me in a way that's causing me to sin or to continue to sin. And for us to pray that and then continually go to them, again, is not consistent. But Lord, deliver me from those stumbling blocks, those areas of my life, those places, those people. That is what we need to be praying for. Charles Spurgeon said, "Take heed, my brother, when thou art tempted, for the next minute may be the pivot of thy life." We need to be praying for deliverance, don't we? You know, I don't think Ms. Beverly would mind me giving her an abbreviation of her testimony, but she wrote a track on it. It's really good. But Ms. Beverly, at one time in her life, was addicted to tobacco, nicotine, and it was a real big struggle for her. And it was to the point of her life of desperation. She couldn't shake it. And those of you that have smoked know the addiction that it is, or are smoking. It's a very powerful addiction. But one of the things that she came to a point of her life, and sorry, Ms. Bailey, if I'm not quoting it just right, but she basically came to the point of desperation. She said, "Oh, God, would you please make this cigarette disgusting to me? Am I close to the truth there? Give me a distaste for it. Take away the likeness for it." And am I right? God did that, Ms. Beverly? Miraculously. Miraculously. What is that? I believe that is a perfect fulfillment of, "Lord, deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." That right there is exactly what the Lord can and will do as we are serious about it. Now, not like the guy going around the donut shop, okay? But there is a very much a seriousness of wanting to do away with that which is hindering me and my walk with Christ. Going over to point number two here, we see the second part of this petition. The first one is, "Lord, lead us not, guide us not into that realm, Lord, where we're going to be in an environment to be enticed." The point is, I don't want to be there, Lord, and guide us to those places that are right. But then he says, "But deliver us from evil." That's number two. Deliverance from evil is needed every day. That word deliverance there, ruome, is the meaning is to draw to oneself, to rescue, to deliver. Can you see yourself as being in need of rescued every day? We need to be there, folks. If you don't see yourself each day as in need to be rescued by God's power, then you you something's missing. Because we do. We need God to rescue us from the evil that is around us. And that word evil there, you see letter B, means wicked. It also means bad or worthless or laboriously wicked. It is in total opposition to what God's will is. And by the way, I didn't put this in here, I don't think, but it's interesting to note the parallel. Everything that is mentioned here in these last three petitions are basically saying, Lord, it kind of goes along with what we prayed in the first part. It has to do with the will of God. You notice there, it is God's will for us to forgive. It is God's will for us to be forgiven. It is God's will for us to avoid temptation, to be guided away from it, and to be delivered from that which affects us. There are some areas here that we see the evil clear in our life. First one is Satan. There in your first blank under evil, Roman numeral 1 there, we see Satan. He is an evil one to be avoided, that's for sure, and to be delivered from. Now, some commentaries would say that, well, that's who that's referring to only. Well, I just feel like you're limiting that verse there by saying it's only referring to Satan. Now, Satan's included. Absolutely he is. There's no doubt about it. But let's look at the text, though. He's talking about evil in general, which we know Satan is evil personified. He's like a lion, the Bible says. He's like a magician. He tricks people. That word beguile that we have in our Bible in Genesis 3:13, Eve is like, listen, Satan has beguiled me. He's tricked me. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul mentions the same thing, saying, listen, lest he beguile you as he did Eve. That's something that I want to encourage you all to pray every day if you don't already. Lord, deliver me from the tricks of Satan. The tricks. His trickeries. Because every day he's trying to beguile us. He's trying to deceive us. And that's something that I believe as God's people we ought to pray, Lord, let me not be ignorant, as Paul would say to the Corinthians, of his devices. Then secondly here, another description of evil is our own heart. Our own heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Paul says there in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he said, in me dwelleth no good thing. You know, that's something that needs to be included in that prayer. Lord, just don't deliver me from Satan, but Lord, deliver me from my wicked heart. Deliver me from my wicked heart, because I tell you what, you know what you got living inside of you, and you know what I have living inside of me? There is simply, I know this is not very comforting, but there is simply a traitor within. A traitor. Someone who has betrayed the things of God and wants to betray the things of God. It's that old Adamic nature, and I need to pray daily, Lord, deliver me from that old man and his characteristics and his desires. Deliver me from my own heart. And then thirdly, we see humanistic philosophy, and that's basically worldliness, lust, greed, and pride. You know, we should be praying this every day. And not just for ourselves, but for all of us, you know. And by the way, we know that this is in the plural form of this prayer, which is most interesting to me, even as I continue to study this passage, the fact that it is not singular in its expression. Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver not only me, Lord, but deliver us, deliver my family, my church from this evil that seems to come so easily. Temptation is being drawn away by our own lust, as we read in James 1:15. Look at the outline there that I give you. I thought it was very interesting. Leander Kaiser suggests that temptation comes in three ways, as found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. All right, again, this is the idea of evil and the temptation that we're faced with daily. The first one is appetite. The desire, basically, that's just to give a description. It's not sinful to have an appetite, but he's using it to illustrate something. He's saying the desire to enjoy things. That's one way we are tempted. The desire to enjoy things. Is it wrong to enjoy things? No. But there's a time and place. There's a way, and God has intended it to be. The other one is ambition. The desire to achieve things. That's the pride of life. You know, you notice these things here, and we'll notice the correlation here in just a minute, and that's the temptation with Christ. And by the way, if you don't have that reference, cross-referenced in your Bible, the temptation of Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, you should note that in your Bible of the correlation there. And then the third one here is avarice. And that's the desire to obtain things. That's the lust of the eyes. That's the insatiable desire for wealth. All three you can break up in this category. I put them like this. The first one, in thinking about the temptation of Christ, was remember when Jesus was tempted Satan tempted the Lord Jesus to turn the stone into what? To bread. He was hungry. He'd been fasting. He'd been fasting for 40 days, and during that time of fasting, he was tempted by Satan to turn that into bread, and that was indeed an appetite, and that aspect of appetite, desire to enjoy things. Then the other one was to jump off the top of the temple, to jump off and look, but won't the angels catch you? Isn't it promised in Scripture? Just jump off, Jesus. And that was to attack the pride of life aspect of temptation. And then there was the one of conquering, showing him all the kingdoms, showing Jesus all the kingdoms. And that was to conquer. Now, all those things in themselves, Jesus could have done. But there's only one problem. It wasn't the will of the Father. The Father wanted Jesus to be hungry. The Father did not want Jesus to show His miraculous power in front of those people that were around the temple in the courtyard. He could have. One commentator said it like this. He said, Jesus could have done it. He could have jumped off of there, and those angels that would have fulfilled Scriptures, those angels would have caught him right there and floated him down just like a feather, and he would have landed just so gracefully with no problems at all, and it would have been miraculous to those people in that court, and maybe they would have called out to him as to be their king. Look, here's the Messiah. Look what he just did. He just flew down to us, and look at that supernatural power. But you know what? He would have avoided Calvary. It was the will of the Father for Him to show His miraculous power on the cross of Calvary. And that's what He did. And yes, He could have set up His kingdom right there. Yes, He could have taken it just right there. But that was not the will of the Father. And that is where we just come as God's children. Lord, I don't want to do anything in this life. Nothing. Nothing, Lord. I don't want to do anything in this life that is not Your will. That's what it boils down to. I don't care how little. I don't care how big. I don't care how small it is. Whatever, God. I do not want to do anything that's not Your will and pleasing to You. And I believe that was the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe what an example He gave us in doing that. You know, though Jesus never sinned, and He did not, He knows and understands the battle we go through. We know that in Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. We have not a high priest that has not been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but when always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, boy, we could get into that. I wish I had time to go into that, but you know, we're limited here for our Bible study and prayer time. But boy, just to talk about the idea of the Lord Jesus being tempted. Wow. What does that mean? 100% man, 100% God. He was tempted. God being tempted in that sense. I'll tell you, I believe in the sense he was tempted. I believe he was tempted in his flesh, number one, like we are as far as being hungry, being thirsty, being alone. There are things that he experienced in that way that we can relate with, but I believe without a shadow of a doubt that it was an impossibility for our Savior to sin. I believe it was totally impossible for him to sin. Because we just read in James, can't tempt God. But he can be tempted in the element of that we are in the human flesh as far as understanding. He understands that weakness. He understands that vulnerability. He understands it completely. But he never gave in, thank God. He lived the perfect, sinless life. But he can relate to us and knowing that the battle we face. Listen, it's hard to have a perfect illustration, but something came to my mind in studying this. I have a pastor friend of mine that was talking one time, and we were just talking through the temptations and the struggles. And one of the things that he does not bother him at all, and we talked about this, and that was, and as far as being a temptation to him, going into a store or restaurant or hearing it play out loud, was rock music, country music, whatever. He didn't grow up with that. He didn't hear it. He didn't listen to it. That was not even in his realm of temptation. Now, he had something different, but in that realm, no. No temptation at all to him. He could listen to it. But me, on the other hand, I grew up in that. I listened to it all the time. I spent hundreds, probably thousands of dollars investing into that type of music and listening in my whole life primarily up to the time I was saved. And then when I got saved, boy, it took a long time for God to pull a lot of that mess out of me. Those songs that were filled with profanity and songs with profane living and promoting sensual things. You know, that right there had been ingrained in me. And anytime I went into a restaurant, you can ask Joanna to this day, if I go into a store and I hear some of that stuff playing, I have to leave. I'm like, honey, I got to get out of here. Why? Because it's a temptation. It brings back memories that I don't want to entertain. I don't even want to be there. So I escape. I get out of there if all possible. All right? So I got to thinking about that. You say, where are you going with that preacher? Well, my preacher friend, that's not a temptation to him, but you know one thing he understood? One thing when we were talking that, he said, but you know what? I do understand what you mean. You know, you can say that about every category with Jesus. Jesus never gave in to any of his sin. He never gave in to one sin. He never. But he understands that Satan will try to come and tempt us constantly. Just like he did. Satan tried to get him to fall. Satan tried to get him to give in. It wasn't going to happen. But he understands. And let me end with this on a bright note. It's never fun talking about sin, is it? But I tell you, it's a real struggle every single day. And Jesus dealt with it in this prayer, so we're going to deal with it. Look, why is it that he exhorts us to pray this? It is for daily deliverance, and praise God, the Lord will honor this prayer. Oh, one of the most encouraging verses in thinking about this thing of daily deliverance is Jude 1:24, right there in your notes. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can you say amen right there? The Lord is able to deliver us and to keep us from falling. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Other verses I encourage you to look at as you have opportunity are in 1 Corinthians 10:13, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, 2 Timothy 4:18, and Galatians 1:4. And there are others that you can find out. But can I say this in closing tonight? Let's ask God, especially in the context of going into this revival. None of us want to carry or have any sin in our lives that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit coming into this coming week. And I believe we ought to just take God at His word and say, God, You know what I'm struggling with every day. You know that sin, Lord. You know that road of temptation that I'm walking through every day. I'm opening that door and I'm hanging around it there. Lord, open that exit door up for me. That's the one I want to take. And then, Lord, would You just simply rescue me from the evil influences in my life? Satan, my flesh, and this world, Lord, would You rescue me? Because that's exactly what Jesus is telling us to do. And I believe, according to Jude 1:24 and others, God will honor that request. Can you say amen right there? Let's ask God to give us an ever-increasing distaste for sin and to deliver us from its traps. Let's pray. Father, I am grateful that You are faithful to deliver us from those sins that we do face every day. I'm thankful that You can lead us in paths, Lord, that can avoid temptation. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that You can and will deliver us. You will rescue us from evil. But Lord, please help us not to be like that man who continuously rode around that donut shop and continuously pray, Lord, deliver. Lord, lead not. Lord, rescue. Help us to take the choice of our free will and to utter our dependence upon You in saying, Dear God, I'm making a conscious effort to get rid of this sin in my life, this temptation that haunts me every day. Lord, would You do that? Help me, Lord. You know the sin that You dealt with me about in studying this. Lord, I'm continuing asking that You would give me strength every day. My weakness. And Lord, I pray every person in this room under the sound of my voice will be totally honest and transparent with You right now about their weakness. And Lord, I pray that they would pray this prayer with sincerity and with confidence that You will lead them in a path that will avoid the temptation to that sin and that You will rescue. Lord, we want to be ready for this revival. Lord, there's no time like the present. Lord, help us now.